The Brothers Wiss. The Brothers Wiss, Brothers Wiss. The Brothers Wiss. The Brothers.
You're now listening to Greg. It's the Brothers Wisp. Let's take
it. Hey, everybody. This is Greg Soule, the Brothers Wisp number 127. Today, it is, what is it? January 2nd, 2021. So we're officially in the new year, and we've got a familiar face. We only get him once a year, so let's enjoy it while we can. We've got Andrew
just
Cox.
Scrolled out I gotta back point into 2020.
There he is. Andrew Cox right there, all the way from Australia. Say hi to the folks.
Hey, guys.
And then we also have Mikey Hammett from Chicagoland down there.
I was trying to think of something else to say other than my normal, hey, how's it going?
Hey, how's it going?
And I couldn't, so that's all I have.
There it's
just
it is.
That I was trying to think of something else.
I knew you'd work it in one way or the other. There we are. All right. So this go around, we have a couple of new patrons. We've got... All right, we Googled this, so it should be right. Audrius Pechukas. Pechukas? Pechukas, I think. Andrew Cox, back me up. Give it a go.
Pechukas. Yeah, Pechukas. I'm going to go with that. Pechukas.
All right, excellent. And then we also have Jordan Fox. And when we say patrons, that's patreon.com/thebrotherswisp. These guys were nice enough to support us, and then they get access to the patron-only Slack. So I think Audrius has already been in there talking away. I'm not sure that we've seen too much out of Jordan. I think Jordan popped in last night maybe. So I don't know that he's actually signed in just yet. But hopefully we'll see him or her. I don't want to engender them, right? Jordan can go either direction. So hopefully we'll see them soon. So we also have some sponsors. And as Andrew may or may not know, he gets to read one of them. What would you like, Andrew? Take a look at the docs. Take your pick. I'm going to do the Cambium one because I see that at the top, where it's the Cambium EPMP bundle. What better than starting the new year with some new kit out on your tower? $6,000 value. You get it for $2,000. You get 6 months of VIST.NET billing. You also get some RF Elements Twist Horn there. I would say the new hotness, but they've been the hotness for a while, so they are just the hotness, neither new nor old. You also get 2 hours of one-on-one with an EPMP network engineer. No sales pitch. You just ask him questions, and he answers them. So 20 questions he has to try and, or I guess you have to try and figure out, you know, what his favorite color is, or maybe what animal he's thinking of. You know, I mean, it could go either way. You also
20 questions.
CN...
What's the lotto number for the next draw? You got it wrong. I get another question.
No, first you ask him, what was your mother's maiden name? What was your first pet?
What's your preferred password?
What are the last 4 digits of your social security number? Yeah, all those good things. So be sure to check out the Cambium bundle. We'll have a link in the show notes for it. All right, Andrew Cox, what are you going to read?
I was interested in the quick bit. Is that in the list here?
Yeah,
am I reading the wrong one?
No, it's like line number 7. What do you got?
Yeah. So QuickBit is an indoor and outdoor 60 gigahertz kit. We've seen a few different vendors coming out with 60 gigahertz kit, but this is designed to be super simple, just basically plug and play. It's got an API, it's got deployment tools, and 8 clients per hub, which is sort of the what everyone's going for with the point-to-multipoint stuff. And it looks pretty rugged and durable, so... I noticed it's got some smart building IoT connectivity stuff they're talking about, or that's the one of the use cases. They want you to be connecting in bits and pieces there. So I know there's been some LoRa discussions I've seen popping up all over the place with people nowadays. So if you're getting into that, this would be worthwhile checking out.
Yeah, for sure. And that's kwikbit.com, quickbit.com. All right, Mikey, which one are you picking up?
Well, last time I took the short one, you yelled at me.
No, you suckered out, that was all.
Given that given that I will take the slightly longer one this one time, and then I will revert back to taking the shortest way out in the future. I recommend that maybe you should make all of our Patreons come on and do one of these introductions. Tower coverage is your RF propagation system to empower your network. Real-time data metrics enable your coverage area, reaching your customer base, and more. The industry's best RF propagation mapping system allows website integration for customer sign-up and pre-qualification. Use this data to scientifically plan network expansion and help your WISP succeed. Get a free trial today at towercoverage.com.
Excellent. Nicely done, sir. Yeah,
it actually, I see tower coverage quite often as I'm doing research on operators, and I'm trying to figure out where they cover and things like that. I often get stymied that they have tower coverage. It's like, I don't want to fill out a form letting them know that I'm trying to figure out stuff about them. So it's great for a potential customer, bad for other people trying to find out about you. Which right. is probably desired.
The last sponsor we have is our oldest and most loyal at Sonar. And that's Sonar. Ooh, we're going to sing it?
Boy, I missed the Christmas episode, so. Brought to you by Sonar.
Scalable, intuitive, comprehensive ISP billing and operational support system. For a trial, you can go to sonar.software. I think if you want additional verses to that intro song, you're going to have to go straight to Andrew's OnlyFans site.
That's sonar.software.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, the show notes are pretty slim, but we've got an Australian that I haven't talked to in a really long time, so I'm assuming we'll have a lot to speak about. I was talking about my Christmas presents last go around on the Christmas episode as it went. And I was getting this Shure SM7B mic, and I got it in, and I was excited to play with it, and I did this side-by-side test where I recorded on this MXL990, which you see I am still currently using, as well as that Shure microphone. And there was almost no difference. I think it's really designed to be like a broadcast mic, so if you have like multiple people in a room, you know, and you can't get a huge amount of distance. I mean, obviously you want 3 meters of distance at this point, but if you can't get more than that, you know, it's probably a good microphone because you have to really speak right into the end of it, right? A broadcast mic. I did notice my plosives were a little bit better, but it was almost, I mean, it was the difference was negligible. You really couldn't tell the difference. And so the MXL990 is a $70 microphone, and the Shure microphone is a $400 one. So I promptly returned the Shure microphone and just stick it with the same old kit. But there's no like I don't have friends. Instead? Yeah, I don't have friends, so I can't like borrow stuff off of them. I don't know anybody that had one to ask, hey, can I play with your thing? And it's not like they have a ton of them sitting around, just, you know, they're not using. So the odds of me getting a spare one off of somebody was pretty low. So I got it. I tried it. Wasn't for me. Audio quality was just fine. Just for the price, I couldn't justify it. And I don't do this stuff in person. And I don't foresee in the future being able to do this stuff in person. So I'm good here.
Not for a while.
Yeah, it's going to be a minute. Oh, my goodness. All right, so that was my... Oh, yeah. What else did I get? I got the Samsung ear beans. You know, it's like their version of the ear pods or whatever. They just look like little kidney beans that you stick in your ears. And they're actually pretty nice. I've been enjoying them a lot. I ride the exercise bike in the garage with them on. They've got like noise canceling that kind of like freaks my brain out for a second right when I turn it on. And I played pickleball in it, so I've sweated in them a lot. They work pretty well. I don't know, I haven't had any problems. And my ears are so huge that it's not like they're going to fall out or anything, so I have no problems there. What about you, Andrew? What'd you get for Christmas?
I can't think of anything sort of interesting to this area, but I got Settlers of Catan, the board game, and a couple of like board game like type escape room things, so ones that you can play at home, which we're probably going to go back into lockdown soon, so it'll be useful.
Have they started doing the vaccinations over there yet?
I don't think they've started here just yet. I know that they're like we've still got a bunch of cases and stuff that have just started up again, so they're trying to clamp down on the spread of those, but I don't think we've started vaccinations as far as I'm aware. They're testing like thousands and thousands of people each day at the moment, though, just to try and stop it from spreading across all the states again. So, yeah.
Yeah, I've noticed some of the folks. I know a couple of people that have gotten the first round, and then Chad in the chat, he's a volunteer firefighter, and he's gotten his first round. What did he say? It went in like molasses?
It's bad if it's like, I think it's kept cold. So I've had those injections before where it's like cold and you can feel it. Like, it's weird.
It's like when Neo in the Matrix touched the mirror, starts, it's so cold. Starts taking him over. Well, Mikey, what did you get for Christmas? Or did you give something particularly interesting?
I actually already had it when we did the last episode, but, I got a Shark Wi-Fi enabled robot vacuum.
That's right, your vacuum. How's it working?
I haven't gotten mad at it yet, so that's good. Our previous
sucked
one,
up the cat or the dog?
No, actually, it's only had problems a couple times when it's, you know, sucked up some piece of clothing or whatever that you got to pull out of it, but every now and then, it'll get stuck on something. My last vacuum would get stuck every time it went, every time it deployed, it would get stuck on something or get lost. And this one's doing pretty good. It's not great.
Is this one of the ones that connects up to wireless as well?
Yeah. So I can use Google Assistant or Alexa to ask status and tell it to go and stop. On the app on my phone, I could send it to specific rooms. That part I haven't gotten quite working quite right yet. Once the holidays are, all the crappers picked back up and put away, I'm going to delete my house and have it remap it again, because I send it to one room and it goes to a room on the other end of the house. I suspect that's because it's the map was kind of jacked up.
How do you feel about someone having a map of the inside of your house? I remember someone did a big teardown. I think it was one of the Chinese brand ones, like the Xiaomi ones, that would actually like use the laser mapping and everything, and there would be a map of the inside of the property that was then stored in the cloud, and that's how it would send all that data up, that point cloud data. It's interesting.
It doesn't bother me too much.
So the police know where to go when they knock the door down.
All it knows is the floor plan, right? It doesn't know what you're doing in those rooms. So.
I guess I shouldn't say that because people can find where I live fairly easily.
It's just this point cloud data of Mike standing over angrily naked, like, what are you doing, robot?
You know what? This vacuum's making me think of, kind of like Internet of Things and all these little gadgets that are supposed to make our lives better. Have any of those actually made a meaningful impact for you guys that it's like nice or convenient? The closest thing I can think of is like an air fryer. Like, we like our air fryer. That's about it. Like, that's I don't know, man. Just like all those gadgets that are supposed to be cool and helpful just seem to like not appeal to me or suck.
I have a lot of the light style ones. So the ones that make the most difference to me are the smart switches and stuff. So I turn off the heaters and things at like 1 o'clock in the morning if we've forgotten to turn them off. Same when it's in winter. The electric blanket automatically goes off at a certain time if we forget to turn it off. So preventing the house from burning down, like, as well as like lights in the hallway and stuff. So I've got a couple of the sensors, and if you're walking up the stairs, the lights automatically come on. They go off after 3 minutes. Like, those ones to me are convenient because it's something that I don't have to do. Same in our bedroom. We've actually got a string of lights wrapped around the headboard. So like a dim light that you can turn on after when you're turning off the big lights. I quite like those sort of ones, and they're relatively inexpensive and they're convenient. I don't have to sort of fumble around in the dark to find a switch I like those ones.
Most of it's relegated to turning lights on and off, though, isn't it?
Yeah, like for the stuff that I can do in a rental property here, if it was my own place, then I'd probably have other stuff installed as well, like the front door locks and yeah. There's little Nerf ones, like...
like catapults that launch your felines at intruders. I get it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The sliding door releases the cats.
is this drastically improving your life, Mike? Does any technology really? I mean, other than, I guess a smartphone. I guess you could think of that as like a IoT sort of thing. And then Christy likes playing with her watch.
I thought that they were really stupid for a long time. My Nest thermostat. I like because I no longer have to remember to put it into air conditioning mode or heat mode. It just, you just set the temperature and it just does whatever it has to do to make that happen. It's a, you know, high and low range, which is nice in like the spring and fall when it's, you know, 80 degrees Fahrenheit for Andrew. That's quite hot in Celsius. during the day, but then it's, you know, the next day is 40 and it's just like, you know, having to flip back and forth. No, Nest just takes care of it. And we got some other temperature probe sensors in the house since there's can be a 5-6 degree variance in the house. And so like I have it set to worry about the temperature in the bedroom at night because that's where we are. I don't care what it is in the rest of the house. Just do what you have to do to make the bedroom comfortable. You know, same in the living room. I set that to be the evening hours. It's what's nice that, you know, that kind of balances all that out. And I haven't, thankfully, I haven't had a functional test of this other kind of attachment, but the Nest smoke detectors. They will turn off the furnace if they detect smoke or carbon monoxide or any of those things. It just kills it entirely so that it's not blowing smoke in the rest of the house and not feeding oxygen to wherever a fire might be. I hope to not just need to use those, but it's nice to know that's supposed to do it.
I completely forgot. I actually have one of the Nest doorbell cameras, which has just become a seamless part of my life now. So I didn't even think of it as a smart device. Like it, the amount of times though, where we've been sort of 2 minutes down the road or something and someone's knocked on the door to deliver a parcel and you get the notification, you're able to be like, okay, just leave it there. We're just around the corner. Or just like up the shops or something. And I've sort of run back. I guess that to me is it's smart home technology. It integrates. I don't have to think much more about it. And because it's just there, it's helpful.
Yeah. I love it. Now, gone are the days that we have to worry about that stuff because people are just basically like delivery ninjas. Like food will arrive and Christy will get like a bloop on her phone. It's like, oh, it's sitting on the porch. Okay. Or we'll get Amazon notifications. Hey, your package is on the porch. Oh, okay. We can get it. Don't have to like ever do anything anymore. It just magically appears.
Remember when you were a kid, you had to like go get money from the store and then like go get money from the bank and then call someone up on the phone? And
believe it or not, there's still a lot of people that refuse to use banks over here. So it's a fairly common practice. Cash their checks and then they will carry like wads of money around with them, which is bizarre to me still.
Yeah.
Because my father-in-law is like that. It's how he rolls.
One of those big, like, back-breaking wallets you just jam.
Yeah, one of those George Costanza wallets. But I guess, you know, there's some logic to it, right? Because you see your bank account right there in your pocket, right? You don't have to guess how much you got left or whatever. But even having said that, they're always broke. So it's not operating in that capacity. It's just, you know, theoretically.
You can see how broke I am on my phone.
Yeah. I don't have to like open it up and moths fly out.
but after that, I'd say, you know, should the robot vacuum prove itself, it'll be nice. If nothing else, it will force us to not leave clutter around the house.
Mm. Not leave clutter on the floor, at least. No one tries to eat USB cables.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, to make sure that it does its job, you can't leave just crap laying around on the floor. So it, you know, at least will inspire us to do the things that we should have already been doing to some degree.
Mm. Pivoting a little on that, has anyone played with much of the LoRaWAN stuff for sensors and tracking and things like that?
I haven't done any of it. Have you?
I've got a couple of the MikroTik devices for picking up signals, and it's sort of interesting, the data that I see come through. Some of it's encrypted, some of it's just open. But I don't have any of the sensors yet, and I kind of want to build a couple little things as like side projects just to monitor when the bins are emptied and monitor when there's mail in the mailbox and things like that. So that'd be cool to do.
I remember when MikroTik announced the LoRaWAN access points, or I'm not sure what the nomenclature is as far as LoRaWAN goes, but like, you know, kind of the AP side of things. So I started looking at, you know, hey, could I just pick up a few sensors and start playing with this stuff? And I didn't, I mean, Google didn't really come up with a lot of stuff, and the stuff it did come up with was really absorbently expensive. It seemed to be really geared towards like petroleum industry or like heavy industrial, like people, you know, that have to have like bulletproof monitoring of stuff. And so the price was also bulletproof associated with that. And I was thinking, man, that's just, you know, for somebody who just wants to play with it, it seems kind of absorbent. But there, I mean, I did see some like kind of roll your own DIY stuff too, but I don't know. And then my attention span fell off and I just moved on to something else.
There's a fair few things available now that are sort of on the lower end. Like, for example, there's a website I go to here in Australia called iot-store.com.au. And they have things like sort of base price LoRaWAN wireless door / window sensor. It's just one of those reed switch sensors, but it's got a battery and everything in it for like $35. I'm pretty sure this one has a battery.
Right. $35? That's not bad.
And the idea is that the battery in them lasts for a year. So like they just sit there for the most part and only transmit when something changes.
And it's supposed one to have of those good little distance, like,
coin
right?
cell. Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like with the small devices, if you have an antenna a kilometer away or something, like you can pick those up. Obviously, if you're talking like some sort of garage three levels down or whatever, that's not going to work as well. But if you're talking about a house or something, one gateway should cover your whole house and everything within easily like a few hundred feet. Rather than using meters, sorry, I was like, gotta say a few hundred meters, but you guys get it.
Yeah, for sure. Right. Yeah, have you ever played with Node-RED at all?
The name rings a bell.
Yeah, I poked around with that a little bit to do some automation stuff before. It's like you can kind of build workflows, like graphically and things like that. And I remember it had some LoRaWAN plugins or whatever. Sometimes I'll just dip my toe in just for a second, then I'll jump back out of the pool because it was just too chilly. You know, wasn't the right temperature for me yet.
There is there's another one I've seen before that's actually quite good. Because there used to be another system. It was like if this then that was really good at sort of plugging things together. And I think that's closed down, or they've just blocked it off from Google or something now, so it's hard to pull all those things together. I'll have to go find it and come back to you in a little bit, but there's another service that's actually really good for that sort of stuff as well. So.
Interesting. If
yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I remember poking around with that just a little bit, but I didn't get too far. I know the Node-RED is kind of like that on steroids, and you can do really easy dashboards and information visualization with it and things like that, you know, all the things you're collecting, whatever it happens to be from. Because I know it'll also do, what is that called, like Mosquito, MQQT or something like that, MQT, something like that.
Yeah, the handler for all of those. Here it is, Integromat. Integromat is one of the ones I've seen recently that's good for writing those sort of things. So you can basically tie in email or push notifications with your sensor systems, or you can even have it like query websites and things like that. So if you wanted to query a certain API, I know a friend of mine, I'm not going to say any names here, but really loves his Red Bull, and he automatically queries a couple of the local stores to find out when the price drops below a certain amount, and it sends him a notification so he can buy more.
That's clever. I've been on a hunt for Japanese and Korean sodas, so I need to set up some similar system. It's getting pretty sparse over here. We're closing our borders down to the one thing that's most important to me, which is carbonated beverages from overseas. It's getting tough. Times are tough.
Any of our listeners that are overseas that know how to get Greg some of these things, just reach out.
You know what my favorite is? It's this Korean grape soda. It's a Chupa Chups grape flavor. You know, like the lollipops or suckers or whatever. Everybody calls it something.
We call them Chupa Chups.
Chupa Chups. You know what I found out? In the UK, it's not the Hokey Pokey. They call it the Okey Kokey. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys are weird. There are and silly sprinkles people. Are hundreds and thousands. And
oh, yeah. We call them hundreds and thousands.
What's that? Golly.
It's fairy bread?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you put like butter on white bread, and then you put hundreds and thousands on top of it.
It's like white trash toast is what it is. Yeah. Ridiculous. All right. Well, let me move on to something that's kind of cerebral, because it doesn't exist right now, but it's, and I'm going to read an excerpt from it. So I was trolling the Nanog list, like the mailing list, for a little bit of information. And I'm going to read you a little excerpt of what I found. And they were talking about how the House on Monday and the Senate on Friday have overridden the president's veto on the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2021, passing it into law. And so they're basically saying there's this emergency alert system. It's called Reliable Emergency Alert Distribution Improvement Act. Ready has been, I guess, approved for talks or study. And they're saying not later than 180 days after the date of enactment, this act provides the public notice and opportunity for commencement. The commission shall complete an inquiry and examine the feasibility of updating the emergency alert system to enable or improve alerts to consumers provided through the internet, including through streaming services. So traditionally, every kid, you know, that grew up in the 80s would occasionally, poop their pants because the emergency warning system would come on television, you know, just like beep, just really loud, and say this was a test of the emergency. Well, I have to say that because my kids, I don't think, have ever watched actual television to see that. Right? Everything comes over the internet, just streaming.
You so have to watch it, and you can't pause or like fast forward. What is this?
No.
Like, were you poor, like, Dad?
It picks up on your VCR and everything. So that
we used to get Netflix in the mail.
Which, I mean, if you look at it through that lens, people are increasingly switching from watching traditional systems that would actually have the emergency alert stuff, right? Or it would they still do it on the radio, like if you're, but again, nobody's really listening to the radio
anymore. When was the last time?
Other than
you're in the car and for some reason your Bluetooth isn't working, like
even then I'll just put it on speaker on my phone. And put it in my, right next to me, or put it in my cup holder if I'm desperate. But, I mean, it's an interesting concept, right? Because I haven't actually had, like, a standard TV service in a million years. So, you know, if it was a major streaming service, what would that be? Like Hulu, maybe? Would it be YouTube? Could you conceivably, if there's a disaster or some imminent danger in your area, all of a sudden, you know, splashed across your YouTube stream is some emergency alert, right? So that's interesting. One, in concept, I think it's interesting, but two, how would they implement execution of this? And then how would you do that in a secure way? Because it seems like
how
would you
do
it
without breaking any security and stuff, and somehow just, I guess if you've got the support of
something open.
Netflix and all of those. Yeah.
Yeah. It's gotta be something that's open that people can access, right? They have to be able to push those alerts to it. So how do you keep that from getting compromised?
Well, in previous conversations on this topic, on Nanog, it seemed like kind of at least the most well thought out position would be that it's handled at the OS layer, not the application layer. So Netflix wouldn't do it, but Amazon with their Fire Stick or Roku or Samsung TV, they would be the ones that handled it, because then it's only one person.
Then to Windows, and Windows, Apple, anyone else? Like, do they have to include it?
The previous conversations I was seeing were just about consumer electronics type stuff. So like an Xbox or a PlayStation, perhaps. I don't obviously know what the NDAA is focusing on, but getting it built into every single app would be a nightmare. There's only 5-10 different, operating systems that have mass distribution. So just put it in those.
Well, the subsection E says Internet and Online Streaming Service Emergency Alert Examination. So to me, that doesn't necessarily say consumer device. To me, just, it's pretty broad. I'm guessing they made it broad for a reason, right, to foster thought and conversation there. But that's crazy to think that you would have some kind of a backdoor in every Windows machine to where people could push content on there, because how long does it take before that gets compromised?
Just ask SolarWinds. Well,
and what's the requirement to leave it active? Like, is it if you're deploying a fleet of laptops for school kids or something, like, and you turn that off, are you then liable for them not getting the alerts? Like, it's essentially, as you said, it's a security hole of sorts. So if you're running a server, presumably you're going to shut all that down because your server doesn't necessarily need to have internet access. So what's the cutoff to say who should have this presented and who shouldn't?
Well, it used to be put upon all of the major television channels that they had to subscribe to the system and have that capability. So maybe you just look at the top, because we're talking about the United States, right, on this. So just look at the top 20 distribution services for streaming content. That would probably cover, 98% of what people are going to be actively. You got YouTube, Netflix, Hulu, Twitch. What, Venmo? Doesn't YouTube own Venmo?
I think it's PayPal.
Just thinking, how would that work with live streams and everything as well? Like, you're doing a live stream and all of a sudden it just interrupts the live stream?
Yeah, that's the way it used to work on television. Yeah. It was just all of a sudden you hear a tone and then there's a message, whatever it happens to be.
I think you can see kind of how it would, how its impact would be on what they're using now, whether it's on television or on radio or on smartphones now, the, Amber Alerts and all those other things that pop up.
Presumably, you've also got to work out where people are, because it's not just across the country. It's specific areas, right?
Yeah,
and that's, there's a lot of criticisms about the existing systems that they use for that, So, on Nanog, somebody was commenting about how there's so in the U.S. now, we have a variety of different services that do this for emergencies of different kinds. One of them is child abductions and things like that. And they'll get alerted to, make, model, license plate, vehicle color for some child abduction that was 700 miles away. It's like, okay, well, what good does that do me? I don't see anybody that's in my own town, much less 700 miles away.
I've been at home for 4 weeks now.
Yeah. It would be one of 50 vehicles that's on the road right now, because we're all in quarantine. We're all locked down, right?
So that's, a lot of the thoughts and criticisms about how it could be kind of applied to the system they already have. So it's like, do you give them more venues to do their same screwing up? And that's what's going to happen.
Well, I don't know. It just also makes me wonder who has access to push those emergency alerts. Like, are you going to allow it, in a single town, somebody to actually be able to do that? Because I don't think we have the capability now, right?
Yeah, I'm just picturing, 2 years ago, if that had have existed, you would have been seeing all Donald Trump's tweets coming through it.
It's in California, on Nanog, I was hearing about on California that, you know, those same existing systems are being used somewhat abusively, in that they are sending COVID related messages, but not like, you know, going into stage 3 quarantine, or not, you know, this new thing has happened. No, it's like, I guess in that jurisdiction, they're talking about, you know, they had a report of a party that they shut down. It's just like, why does everybody have to know about that on an emergency basis?
Mm.
Like, yeah. Like, nobody pointless. Cares. Other than people that are at the party are now pissed off.
Yeah, like fire information, you know, wildfire or earthquake or something like that, or, you know, some natural disaster, tornado warnings. I mean, junk like that, it totally makes sense to me. But yeah, that seems like kind of a waste of everybody. Well, you know what I mean? It makes, like you were talking about the Amber Alert from something that's like 500 miles away, it makes you callous to those things. So you just like, okay, go away, go away, go away, and you don't even look at it. You know, just kind of get numb to that stuff.
But it makes the person who did it feel important.
I guess so.
Yeah, like the guy who sent out the accidental alert to Hawaii.
Yeah, that's a problem.
It just depends. Made for an exciting day, I think. A good time had by all. All right, so let's see what else did I have. Some more doom and gloom information. So, whereas I think Christmas Day, there was an explosion in Nashville near an AT&T telco pop. I'm not sure the size of the pop, but what I found interesting is they were saying that it took out telephone service, not only for Nashville, but a lot of Tennessee. People were talking about how it went to Kentucky, Alabama. I mean, that was pretty damn widespread. I just thought that was crazy. Do you think it's because those states are so kind of ruralish and just less connected?
Well, and so other areas affected also include Indiana. I got a report from a WISP that was needed to get service activated to some large location immediately because their AT&T provided protected circuit was down due to the Nashville explosion. It's like they're in Indiana. That's two states away.
Where was the protected circuit going? Was it just in Indiana? I mean, it couldn't have been, right? Must have been cutting through there, huh?
I don't know. I'd
be having some serious conversations about my protection if it was both via one data center.
Well, that seems to happen more often than one would like. But the... I think the big source of these sorts of outages is that... And then it's kind of been reinforced by watching some of the people that have worked at these large telcos in some Facebook groups that I'm in. Like, their method of increasing uptime is like, let's just make this structure bigger and stronger. You know, let's put the conduits in concrete. You know, it's about, you know, how can we spend more money to make this one thing just an absolute rock? And doing so, then, you know, there's only a limited amount of dollars that can be spent. So then they have less rocks. You know, sort of like, you know, one of my long time complaints is that lots of carriers build, you know, they will haul you first a very long distance back to some gigantic piece of routing iron. Because they spent millions of dollars to buy this, you know, full rack, you know, huge CRS or
justify its existence.
Yeah, like, you know, this enormous router. It's now they have to bring everything to it to pay for it. Instead of putting ASRs in more places, they put a couple of CSRs out. Yeah. And so
I mean, the more redundancy you have, the more technical. I mean, technically, the more things you have to maintain, and, you know, that's. More truck rolls you have to do. It's just, I don't know, they probably want to consolidate that stuff. But I was also thinking about I think a lot of carriers plan for failover. Like, you know, when you're talking about a protected route, it's the idea that if I fail on one leg, I've got the backup. And I bet they account for so much failover simultaneously. But when you have such a major location like that go out, I think all bets are off, right? Like the backup capacity they had planned for, like that planning just kind of goes away. They weren't expecting, you know, probably some
everything
major
to fail over.
To just completely disappear. Yeah. Which, you know, I mean, it's like, I played the data center game for a while and it was always this, how far down the rabbit hole do you want to go? Right? Like I can make this thing equally redundant. And then I can go down and make that thing and then that thing. And then at some point there's diminishing returns. You're just spending more money and, you know, you're covering these really small fractional off chance things. And so you just, you know, it's everything's a gamble.
What was it? 5 nines you aim for? 6 nines?
Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, you guarantee 100% to people because you're a crazy person, but you know, it's
100% rebates. Is it?
You got to mail them in. We send you coupons and then you got to mail them back into us. In a certain amount of time, obviously, in duplicate. But yeah, I mean that. So that, I was thinking that's probably part of it. It being as widespread as it was, it was probably such a major point that they just didn't have capacity planned for all of that. I did see some people saying in the list that AT&T has a disaster response team that's like second to none, and that those guys kind of all converged and I guess got services back up well before you would anticipate anybody being able to. So that's, I mean, I guess that's cool.
But, yeah, the restoration time to the services that weren't in the immediate, you know, middle Tennessee area, were fairly reasonable, but those are the ones that shouldn't have gone down in the first place. So I was like, well, yes, you did get the, you know, Central Alabama cell towers did come back on pretty quickly, but they shouldn't have been down. So it's like, well, you know,
yeah,
here's a cookie, but it's a 6 month old cookie that's been left out on the counter and it's hard.
It's a good test for them as well to see what actually did get taken down and what came back up automatically, what needed manual workarounds and
yeah.
Maybe everyone's learned something from this as well as to how to prepare in future. Like, yes, this sort of thing is not anticipated to happen, but if it does, here's best case, like, best practice to ensure that
yeah.
if we need to cut all these circuits over somewhere else, it's sort of easier for people to do so.
Yeah. And I mean, being in that boat before, humans can only think of so many things, right? You can only come up with so many scenarios and, things are always going to fail in new and unexpected ways, and you just have to be there and be ready for it. So, silver linings, right? Get everything out of it that you can and try and be better the next go around. But I mean,
yep.
I don't think too many people are planning, for an RV to explode in front of their building. You know, because you just don't know what's going to happen when something like that goes on, you know?
Yeah, it's, one thing from those lists, you know, they were talking about, oh, you know, all this uptime and you know, dedication to building a resilient operation. And maybe it's, you know, maybe it varies by region, but, you know, somebody was like, oh, well, you know, I'd like to see some, you know, some IP data center take this sort of attack.
Oh, like a carrier neutral facility?
Right, yeah, because it's still the old, you know, TDM telco stuff versus data. Like, that's the mentality of these guys. Oh, you know, all this data stuff, it doesn't work, it doesn't do this, it doesn't do that. And I'm like, you know, I'm just thinking, almost every data center that I've gone to has been... I mean, there are multiple upon multiple entrances, and, you know, some carriers will enter a major data center in 4 or 5 different vaults. And there's the most extreme amount of diversity, you know, going up this elevator shaft, but, you know, not this one because the other, you know, entrance is already in it and is on and on and on. Meanwhile, most of the COs, granted they are smaller COs, most of the COs that I've worked with for telcos, everything is in a single entrance. They're, you know, their own fiber comes in and out the same entrance. All their copper comes in one entrance. You know, there's only one power feed entrance. So it's like, well, you know, I don't know that, you know, I think I'd rather be in a data center that had diverse power feeds and diverse generators and diverse data connections.
Mm-hmm. Most data centers actually do have a single power feed come in, or if they have redundant ones, it's coming from the same company. They'll just it'll just be kind of diverse paths off of maybe even sometimes the same substation. Not always the same substation, sometimes it's a different one, but it's usually a manual swap on the carrier side or on the power provider side. So that's kind of out of your control. So while utility may go away, usually the utility company is going to be, I'm not going to say Johnny on the spot, but pretty reactive on switching the power over for those major data centers. So I've seen that.
Yeah, but like on like, you know, on like the central offices that I've been to, it's like there's just one transformer bank on one utility pole. That's like, there is no opportunity for anything else other than, you know, down the road.
Yeah. Not only that, I've seen some of those that have like their generators in the basement, which is fun too.
yet, I think New York City learned that lesson a few years ago.
But I mean, it's
floods, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what are you going to, I mean, especially like someplace like New York, if you don't have space to put a generator, I mean, what else are you going to do? You got to, I mean, I guess the basement's better than nothing. So go for it. Cross your fingers. Put it on little water wings so it'll float, Case.
But, just bump it around.
It would then, there's also, like, some of the other, we're hearing about on Nanog, not just this AT&T one, but there's various other major outages for, like, super important systems. And it's like, you know, AT&T or CenturyLink or whoever is the sole holder of the contract. Okay, well, you know, good luck on your redundancy, because you're not going to have any. Like, you've put all your money, or, you know, all your eggs into one basket. And it's up, you know, and half the time they don't give you all the details you need on the basket. You don't have complete immunity by going to multiple carriers, but usually it's pretty solid that, even if it's like, even if you're just going with incumbents, if you buy a service from an incumbent telco and an incumbent cable company, they're not going to have the same infrastructure anywhere. They are completely separate everywhere. But they don't even do that.
Because if you're getting like DIA from a single provider, even if they're coming from someplace else regionally, usually like when there's a big outage, like in a carrier, it is a regional outage. So it's going to like affect all of Texas or all of California. So even if, you know, if you're one provider, you're probably going to have a bad time. Whereas that does make a little bit more sense if you have multiple carriers, but what happens when, say, Google has a bad day? You know, it doesn't matter who the carrier is, cause they're all probably picking them up out of the same data center in your state, or maybe one of two, or maybe they're getting them in a couple of places, but yeah, it's usually going to spell frustration all the way around, no matter who you're getting it from. Wah, wah, wah. Well, you ready to do some complaining, Mike? I see some stuff on here for you.
Sure, I could definitely complain.
All right. What is Avalara? I don't know who or what they are.
Avalara is a tax engine. A lot of types of businesses go to Avalara to ensure that they're doing the proper taxation. And, you know, they have APIs that are referred to by various systems. And my specific complaint would center on their telco engine, obviously. So we're working to get them set up on our sonar installation. And I say working on, it's been a long process. Obviously, if I was committed to it, it wouldn't take nearly as long, but because it's such a pain in the butt, it takes a long time. And it's so difficult to work. Okay, so obviously taxes are, and regulation reporting is a very complicated subject. They're supposed to solve it all for you. Except they just give you a table full of obscure tax types that have no real bearing to the service. And you're supposed to figure out which ones apply to each one of your services. And it's not just, is it option A or option B? It very well could be option A, B, F, Q, R, and Z. And you have a conversation with them, and they will tell you, yep, that's a good one, that's a good one, that's a good one, that's a good one. So I asked them, why don't you just pre-bundle these for me? You just pre-bundle, you know, here is, you do this for internet. You do this for in-state data transport, this for out-of-state data transport, this for local dial tone. Just give me the preset groupings. Well, no, we can't do that. Why can't you do that? If I tell you the service, you tell me what numbers to choose. So why don't you just make it an option that I can click on and then avoid the conversation? Well, we don't know if you have something special. A dial tone is a dial tone. An internet's an internet. Like, it's... there. I'm not saying there's not special cases, but why don't you make it a default?
Well, and I think some of that stuff adjusts state by state, right? Like, so Texas has that weird... the first $20 isn't taxable on internet and stuff like that. And also, I was thinking, what happens if...
Is that changed now?
I don't know.
That entirely now.
Oh, wicked.
All I have to worry yes, about they it. Have. yes, the U.S. did end all of that grandfathering. I forget when it went into effect, whether it has already happened or not.
Yeah, I'm Australian. I know about weird U.S. tax law.
I was going to say, you probably know better than us having to deal with that stuff so frequently.
I would probably recommend having touched it as well, taxjar.com. I had some pretty good experiences working with those guys for much the same thing as you're talking about, Mike. Putting in where you're selling from, where you're selling to, what the product type is you're selling, and getting it to spit back out what your taxes should be. I found that was someone who had no idea, like it had a lot of the explanations and there was an API and everything, so you could plug in whatever information you had.
It's nice. Regular, you just query it.
So I'll have to look into that. I mean, Avalara is what's supported by Sonar, so I'll be somewhat limited, but it'd be nice to check out the competition to see how they're doing it and change my complaint. But it's just like,
well, it makes no sense. It's like importing
if
stuff.
Their list gets stolen, so what do they need you for?
On the thing about, in Texas, do you have this different tax thing? Yes, but that's not how that applies. Because once I choose internet, once I have the right set of tax bundles and things, then it tells me what's appropriate in the jurisdiction. So, if I had an internet service and I gave it, just for argument's sake, let's, rewind 5 years. I gave it your address and a dollar amount and whatever. It would spit back, yes, and, here it is, and you owe this much in tax, and so on, so on. I gave it my address. Illinois never had internet tax. It would say $0, move on.
Yep.
So it does all that on a per transaction, per invoice basis. But then they won't just, there's no easy button for setting it up. It's like you have to already know how their system is built to know how it would respond to stuff. Hmm. But they won't just give you a template. It's just so aggravating. And I talked to them about it and they're like, well, we can't really do that. Because it's like, you'll tell me in a conversation on the phone, but you won't just give me a list? Well, no, we can't.
So what you need is a Mechanical Turk plugin.
But
you call the API, that calls a human calls another human, they get the answer back, and they return it to you via an API.
That's that. I'll check out those guys that Andrew talked about just to kind of see what the other side of the fence is like, even though I'm kind of boxed into what I have. But right.
How about ordering circuits? What's that all about?
This is kind of somewhat related to the AT&T telco conversation. It's nothing to do with that particular event, but the design and build of networks. I'm trying to get a diverse circuit from one of our towns that goes down to St. Louis, but does not go through Chicago. The problem being is that almost everybody in the area, they're going to take you to Chicago. They may have a ring, but the ring on both sides collapses into Chicago.
Why not? I mean, what's wrong with that? As long as the fiber path is diverse from what the other carrier is, what's wrong with that?
See, well then, because once you get downtown, things get real commingled and real messy real quick. And given that I am north, technically, of downtown Chicago, and St. Louis would be, way far south. If I was, there are few good ways of getting there without piecing together a variety of dark fiber circuits. I mean, it can be done with a variety of dark fiber circuits, or Zayo can get me there via Minneapolis. So I think it would like Minneapolis to Omaha, down to Little Rock, Arkansas, back around, and then I get to St. Louis. It's like, good God, that's a hell of a route just to avoid Chicago. So I don't know. I may be buying a bunch of dark fiber just so I can do this. Because this is a situation where I have to have complete redundancy. Circling back to the 911 conversation from the last show, is I'm trying to maintain diversity to too far away areas. It's getting complicated. And carriers suck.
I believe in you. You can make it happen.
So that's
all right. Yeah, that's not too bad. Well, I was curious. It's the beginning of the new year. Everybody does resolutions, or I guess most people do resolutions. I was curious if you guys do. I will start out and say that I don't do resolutions. Having just said all that stuff, I feel like it's a waste of time for me, because if I want to do something, I usually just do it. The new year oftentimes brings me a little bit of additional energy. I wonder if that's because I always take some time off. And so I don't know. I feel a little bit more pep in my step right off the bat. But for me, I am starting a new podcast that's completely non-technical. It's about people that do interesting things or have done interesting things, where they are, and then tracing that back to what was the moment you knew you were going to, it's like, what are the series of events that led you to that in your life? So just kind of curious about that stuff. It always fascinates me to figure out how people ended up where they are. So I've started reaching out to some folks, and a surprising number of quasi-famous people are saying yes. So that's interesting. I think I'm going to do it kind of seasonally instead of trying to do it like this where it's on a schedule. Because it would just, I mean, it's hard enough to herd cats, but you know what I mean? These mythical unicorns, it would be hard to, you know what I mean? Like, I don't have pull for that stuff. So I was thinking, get chunks of them done and then recorded and then release them on a regular schedule. So that would be pretty cool. I've got this one guy, Owen Egerton. He's Master Pancake Theater. He's one of the comedians on that. But he also has directed like several movies, and he writes a lot. And he just does like a lot of really interesting, somewhat high profile things. And I asked him, and he's like, yeah, all right. So that was kind of a trip. And that sort of gave me momentum to start asking all of, like, I've started asking all my favorite YouTubers. And I've already got some okays from some of them, which is trippy. So that'll be cool. So I'm trying to do that. I think that's more for, I don't know that anybody's going to listen or care to listen, but man, I think it's going to be fascinating for me. I think it's going to feed the little voice inside my head. So I'm really interested in that. I was curious, do you guys have any resolutions, or are you starting any new things, even if they aren't resolutions? What's cooking, Andrew?
Look, New Year's resolution, 2560 by 1440. Sorry, I had to slip that in there. no, for me, I had, we were obviously locked down for most of this year, and I was trying to work through some health problems and things, like just weird stuff with my body. I was trying to work out what was going on. So I am going to, and this is not normally something I do coming into a new year. I'm not normally the person that's like, I'm going to get fit, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to do all this. But I've sat around a lot last year, and I had a bark up for my birthday while we were stuck indoors for like 3 months straight. So
you're gonna have to repeat like that. You had a what?
A bar cart that I got for my birthday.
Oh, a bar cart.
A cart with all the,
like a cart full of alcohol.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. Because I've always been interested in like doing the mixing and doing like learning how to make drinks and things. So put that to pretty good use. And like not in a, not saying this in a bad way. I haven't become an alcoholic during lockdown or anything.
You were already an alcoholic. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. I've an addictive personality in other ways. So too many computer games. No, I'm sort of interested in getting out a bit more again, and getting back to doing sort of a regular fitness thing and stretching out. I've had some problems with my feet, my legs, so just trying to exercise and make those work better, and then maybe going out on some hikes and things as well.
Mm. When you talk about fitness and body things, it harkens back to a friend of mine that I knew that broke his arm throwing a dodgeball one time.
Huh, yeah, yeah.
Can't remember who that was.
In my defense, it's just I threw the ball so hard. It was the breaking the sound barrier. The shockwave traveled back down my arm. Just wasn't expecting it. So.
Nobody accounted for that. It's good that you didn't hit just anybody too with strong. That ball. They wouldn't have survived it, yeah. That's good. Well, I know you got your Valve Index got there, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you put in any miles on that?
I have. I only got a sort of short time to play around with it because I have to take everything downstairs and set it up. And I'm going to get some of the cables so I can run it down there. And then that's one plan, sort of how to keep active and things.
Right, right.
But we've had so many people sort of staying with us and family visiting and still trying to keep a relatively small number of people that we've been in contact with, but it was just very full on socializing after having almost a year of just us and our friend who's been staying with us. So it's ready for like a bunch of sleep and just quiet and
I can't even begin to tell you how ready I am for a vaccine. Like, I want that Joker bad. So my wife has like a pre-existing condition, obviously. Well, not obviously. People listening to this probably don't know that. But she does. And so we're trying to figure out where she fits into the thing. You know, like, obviously first responders and stuff like that here are getting it. Well, it's like she's got that pre-existing condition. She goes, yeah, so we can go get our vaccines. And I was like, what are you talking about, we? She was like, dude, you have a heart condition. And I go, oh, yeah, I've got a hole in my heart. I forgot about that. It's those little things. It's like, you know, how I could never be in the military and I have to take antibiotics when I go to the dentist and dumb stuff like that. It's like, oh, yeah, because if I get an infection, I could, like, die really fast. I forget about little things like that sometimes. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm pre-existing condition.
The important stuff.
I was like, well, shit, well, maybe I can, you know, maybe I'll actually be able to get it a little bit sooner than I was expecting to. So I am so excited. I will continue to wear my mask, right? Even after I get the vaccine, do my part, show support for everybody else. But yeah, I
can't get a little COVID tattoo. Show you made it through 2020.
I just want to go and sit in a restaurant and eat a meal. I really like it. It's so unfathomable to think about doing that right now. Not to say that there's not a ton of people in Texas already doing that. So I met a guy from Ohio. He moved here in November, like, so just like a month and a half ago or something. And he goes, yeah, this isn't lockdown. He's like, where we were, that was lockdown up there. He's like, you guys, it's like nothing's even going on down here. I was like, yeah, I know. It's for good or for bad. You know, people are just going ham. And so many of my family members either are actively have it or have gotten over it right now. It's just crazy, man. So bonkers. But I think everybody's heard enough about COVID and stuff like that. So
I heard a great tip the other day. Someone was saying, remember back in the past when we go to a bowling alley and stick our fingers in the three holes that, like, numerous other people had their hands in, and then we take it out and eat chips with those same hands and just challenge God? What a wild time.
Challenge God, I love it. Yeah, I know I haven't had, like, a cold in forever. I'm enjoying that. I know that much so far. This is the first time I think I've seen all of my family members wash their hands simultaneously. So, you know, silver lining, small improvements. I'll take those. But yeah, I haven't had a stomach virus or the runs for quite a while. Although we are starting to eat Indian food again. So I don't know how long my luck's going to hold out on that one. What about you, Mikey? You got any resolutions?
No, I don't. I have too much going on to worry about making promises I won't be able to keep.
Fair enough. Fair enough. You know, something. Go ahead.
So, no, but, yeah, I am just, you know, not really related to New Year's or anything, but, you know, for a while we were trying to start, you know, being a bit more active. But, you know, really since, end of November area, you know, Kate and I have been working out a lot more often.
That's good. People who say they don't have the time, they just need to find the time because it's important, man.
Yep. And so now we wake up at 5:15 in the morning.
Woof. Yeah. Don't find the time that early in the morning. Find it somewhere else. That's word of advice there. No, but something. I had a phone call from a friend of mine. It's a guy who I actually met at the Grizzlies. Really good guy. He's been kind of scarce lately. You know, I haven't really been hanging on to him, and I know he's had some health problems. Anyway, man, he unloaded a bunch of stuff on me the other day. And he was like, yeah, I just couldn't keep it in anymore, you know. And you know, I had to tell somebody, and you're kind of the only person I could come to and talk to. He said, because I have to be tough. I have to be strong. You know, I'm the one that everybody else comes to when they have problems, and I fix them. You know, I guess I'm the one person that doesn't do that. So he just had this conversation with me. And it made me think of this YouTube video I saw from Brené Brown. She's this researcher who does a lot of really insightful stuff. But she was doing this one on trust. And I thought it was really apropos. And I don't know if any of you guys need to hear it. Maybe whether you're on the call, you're just listening here. But they said trust is kind of a two-way street in a lot of different ways. And one of the facets they said is, you know, like any of you guys, like you ding-dongs right here, if you guys ask me for anything, I'm going to do it. No questions asked. You never have to worry about it, right? Because that's – I always want to help. I always want to be of help. I want to be of service. And for the people I care about, I'm always going to have time to do that, right? Now, having understanding – of that, trust means the opposite is true too. That if it's a friend of yours, you have to be able to go to them if you need that same reciprocation. And most of us are terrified to do that, right? There's some weird thing in our brain that says we can't do that. But you have to know that if they're okay doing that for you, and you're okay, I mean, if you're okay doing for that for them, they're okay doing that for you. So if you need something, you just need another human to hear what you're saying, or to commiserate, reach out to those people, right? You're not going to be lessened in their opinion. And I think even to the contrary, I think you, to the people that matter, you'll seem even stronger, right? Because what's stronger than making yourself vulnerable? Being fearlessly vulnerable. So for any of you guys in the new year, it's been crazy. It's been hard for a lot of us, whether it's health related, whether it's financial, whether it's job. I know a lot of people that have lost their jobs, and man, it feels pretty bleak. Find somebody that you have that trust relationship with and test them, because you'll probably be surprised at how well they pass it. So give them a chance. So do you guys have anything to set on top of that, or to wrap up, any thoughts or opinions? Andrew, we haven't talked to you for a really long time. Is there anything burning a hole in your pocket you need to tell us about?
No, I just wanted to add to what you said. Sometimes you may feel you can't speak to friends or family, or you sort of don't feel like it's something that you can talk about, then therapy is not a bad word. Like, there are professionals that you can go speak to who will talk to you in confidence, who will go through things with you. Like, I have a little confession to make. I remember when we sort of were first coming out of our big lockdown here, and I remember going out to the shops one day, and it was like one of the first days we'd been out, and there was just people all around, and I've never experienced that sort of, I didn't know what it was at the time. I've sort of come to realize it was anxiety and panic in the middle of just so many people after being inside and away from everyone and being scared of being near people for so long. And that's something that took me a while to sort of come to terms with. I was like, what happened to me? Like, what, why, like, I'm not like this. I don't react like this. And there's been a lot of stuff going on that you might not have the facilities to deal with on your own. That's not a problem. You can talk to other people. If you can talk to a friend, that's great. If you've got someone there that's willing to, then that's fine. But it's also not a problem to talk to professionals about things and seek help for that sort of stuff.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I've had a lot of things broken in me before and still do. And I've never been able to fix them on my own. It always took somebody else or some other resource to actually get me there to help. And to your point, my oldest right now has started doing some therapy. And when we started talking to some therapists around, they said that they've basically been inundated with teenagers right now. That it's just, it is such a, I mean, Jesus, dude, everything's hitting him right now. His freshman year of high school, he's doing it here at home. He saw another human being for the first time in 9 months just the other day. You know what I mean? Like one of his friends. And he also, puberty is beating him up like, you know, Rocky Balboa right now. So it's just, everybody's going through something. And you know what's funny is he actually feels some guilt because some of his friends, his parents, we're here in the South, and a lot of them believe that mental health isn't exactly a real thing, you know, that it doesn't exist, or depression or any of that stuff. And so some of his friends could really use some counseling a lot more than he could, and he's getting it and they're not. And so that trips me out too. It's almost like survivor's guilt or something.
Survivor's guilt, yeah.
Yeah. But it's the analogy that I always harken back to on stuff like this. It's when you're in the airplane, you have to put your oxygen mask on first before you can help other people, right? Because you're going to get a hypoxia, you're going to fall over, and then nobody's okay, right? So if you're so busy saying, I've got to take care of all these other people, well, if you fall over, who's going to take care of them? Absolutely nobody, right? So sometimes you have to just stop and take care of yourself first, you know? Although, you know, because they can't replace you, you know? If you don't make it out, they're not getting another one, so.
From a technical or logical viewpoint, I always look at it as like, well, your brain is trying to fix problems with your brain. It's like It's like trying to use the debugger on a computer to fix a problem with the debugger. Like, it's okay to get some outside help there.
That's amazing. I've never thought about it like that. So you're saying duct tape on duct tape is not a good solution? So that's most of what's gotten me.
It's weird. Like, think of it. How do you know there's a problem? Well, your brain tells you there's a problem, but what if your brain can't pick up certain problems because there's a problem with it? Like, if the check engine light's broken, you can't tell there's a problem with the engine.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's such a better way. I've always said, if I was able to fix it on my own, I would have already fixed it. Right. It's like, it's pretty much that simple. Like, if I knew how or I had the capacity, it would already be done. Because everything gives me anxiety. Like, all that stuff gives me anxiety. It's like, I don't want to feel this way. If I was capable of not feeling this way, guess what? I would have ensured that I'm not feeling this way. So I was able to take care of it. So,
have you tried not being sad? It doesn't work like that.
God, yeah. Have you tried to stop bleeding? Yeah, but it's a crazy time of year. Crazy time for everybody. I know this is a technical podcast and we're diverging from that, and people often yell at me when I do that, but I think once a year is okay to sort of say that kind of stuff. So there you go. All right. Well, guys, I think this was a pretty decent one. We were kind of light on stuff. It seems like it got quiet over the holiday season. Do you have any anything we need to put out there? Any important information? Any updates?
Nothing specific I can think of, but yeah, if people want to reach out about anything.
Yeah. All right. Let's do the wrap up then. Andrew Cox, all the way in. You're in Melbourne now, right?
Yeah.
Did I say that?
Yeah, Melbourne. We were
Melbourne.
Yeah, Melbourne.
There's no R in that word. Sorry, Melbourne.
No, it's just we throw out a bunch of letters along the way.
You're so efficient, you Australians.
Australians. You throw out the A and the U as well.
Oh my goodness. Andrew Cox. If somebody was interested in hollering at you on the internet or otherwise, how would they go about doing that?
Probably the best way, admin@microtik-routeros.com. Absolutely no relation to the actual Microtik guys, but they've let me keep the domain long enough.
Excellent. All right, Mikey, how would you have folks out on the internet get a hold of you?
Patreon.com/thebrotherswisp, and one of our esteemed patrons would probably help you better than I.
If you want to get a hold of me, I am greg@gregsoul.com, where I very regularly blog. I say that I haven't blogged for the last week and a half, maybe two. I really took off these last 2 weeks. And you know what's so funny is this is the first time in memory where I didn't have anything to do, and I just sat and watched YouTube videos. I didn't feel anxious about anything, you know, because I don't know. That job change was a big life changer for me as well, not just an occupational change. So I have been just kind of sitting around getting fat, you know, the way things should be. There's a guy, Vice Grip Garage, on YouTube. Check him out. He's got some of my favorite sayings now. I'm trying to work him in a common vernacular. Like, if he's drinking a soda or a beer, he calls it cold snacks. And then whenever he's going to crank a car, he goes, "Bring the thunder." And then he tries it. And of course, it never works. So he's hilarious. He's almost Canadian. I think he's way up there up north near Mikey, but he kills me. Anyway, thank you to Andrew, to Mike, our patrons, patreon.com/brotherswist, all of you guys. It was a great year, I think, for camaraderie, for brothers, for people sharing and helping with information in general. So keep that stuff trucking on the Slack. We'd love to see all the rest of you on there. Questions, comments, keep them coming. Because if you guys have also an up note, if you have any special guests you'd like to see on here, I always have fun talking to new people. So throw their names our way. If you can make an introduction, that's even better, because me coming out of the blue doesn't always work. So thank you guys. And maybe see you. Let me click stop on all these things. Stop on that one. Then I click here. Find it on this one. Then I click stop on this one. Know what you are missing. Ideas and some good comedy given. If you missed the show already, don't worry, you're forgiven.